Good morning. It's Friday, March 6th, 2026. You're watching Deprogram with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Ted. Hi, everybody.
If you're just joining us, the news is just breaking that the jobs market is not improving. Bureau of Labor Statistics has announced that we are down 92,000 jobs over the month of February. That's not good, John.
No, that's not good. And at the same time, we're going to be facing higher inflation, even if it's temporary, not just because of the tariffs that the president is now reimposing, but also because of the shock in oil prices. Oil prices are up 25% in the last 5 days. That's significant, which so far translates to about a dime a gallon.
It's going to keep – and I think those oil prices will – I think those we're not – we haven't seen that. We haven't found the ceiling for those oil prices yet.
Oh, no, no. And don't forget, right after the invasion of Iraq in 2003, oil prices – went to, what, $200 a barrel?
Or
just under $200 a barrel. Yeah, there's a long way that this can go.
Yeah, and of course the thing is they go up a lot faster, as Aquiles told us the other day. They go up faster than they come down, and that's true. So, yeah, I mean, you know, right now, if I'm President Trump and I'm focused on international affairs, rightly so, I guess, considering what's going on, I'd start to worry about the domestic front going into the midterm elections. It's always the economy, and you know, already Republicans have had headwinds to deal with. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Obviously, the big story of the day is America's favorite dog killer is out on the loose again. Ice Queen Kristi Noem is out, not really for the right reasons, in my view. But the good news for her is she's joined the Marvel Super Universe of heroes. She's going to be in something called the Shield of the Americas. We don't know what the Shield is. Of the
special envoy.
America's is, I don't know, but
I don't know. Special envoy to the Shield of the Americas. It's a made-up position. She's the first person in this made-up position, and nobody has any idea what she's supposed to be doing.
She's going to be apparently fighting the cartels with her hair.
Great.
Or something. I mean, she has great hair, or she has interesting hair. Let's put it that way. Anyway, we'll talk about that. The death toll in the U.S.-Israeli war against Iran is now at over 1,300. Meanwhile, the Israelis are bombing the crap also out of Lebanon. At least 123 people are dead there. Hezbollah is now an active, full-fledged participant in this conflict. They have threatened the Israelis, basically told everyone in the southern suburbs of Beirut that they have to leave. 500,000 Lebanese live there. They're on the road. People are carrying, grabbing their kids and their pets and their possessions. A lot of them are on foot fleeing because they know the Israelis are going to level it like they did Gaza. And meanwhile, Hezbollah told the Israelis that if you live within 3 miles of the Israeli border with Lebanon, you got to get out because we're going to be bombing and shelling and maybe invading, who knows what. So this is definitely spiraling. It's been a week, and this is exactly what I think no one wanted to see happen. Trump says that he wants to pick and choose the next leader of Iran. Apparently Khamenei Jr. is not going to be permitted under Trump. And
no, not allowed.
Economic stuff. According to the Center for Policy Studies is estimating that the U.S. government is currently already spending $2 billion a day for the war in Iran. To put that into perspective, we were spending about $2 to $3 billion a week on Iraq. So
I remember the president's briefer coming back right after we started the move to push Iraq out of Kuwait in 1991. I remember the briefer coming back and his words were, the president was shocked to speechless when told that the war was costing $100 million a day. $100 million a day. He was shocked to speechless.
Of this.
This is
bad.
And
the thing is about Bush is didn't Bush sort of like use some tricky Hollywood style accounting to put the Iraq war off the books.
And then he got the Arab states to reimburse us. So it was called burden sharing. And
Why do the Arab states do that for us? Why do they? I mean, you know, they're being, every time someone has like a bill, like Israel flattened Gaza, you know, people put the touch on the Arabs. And I know, you know, it's like the Willie Horton said about, not Willie Horton, Willie Sutton said about the banks, right?
That's where the money is.
It's where the money is. But still, I mean, at some point, if you're like the Saudis or whatever, aren't you just like, you flattened Gaza, you pay for it, assholes. I mean,
I think that they see it in their long-term interest to just fork over the money.
They have it. They don't really, they're not going to miss it. They don't really care.
That's right.
Okay. So, all right. Well, I think we should get Kristi Noem out of the way. What do you,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
she's right. Already out the that's, same that's way that fun. Trump did.
That's fun.
Okay. So, so the story here, I mean, you know, one would have hoped, at least from my perspective, that she would have been fired for, I mean, I assumed it happened the day after she testified before Congress, and the Democrats and some Republicans skewered her. I could tell that she was kind of in trouble when John Kennedy went after her over this ad thing, right? Like, she basically spent $220 million on an ad campaign that basically makes her look great. And yes. You know, it's just like rule number one. You know, this is kind of like, remember, you know that story from history, that when I think it's Louis XIV was invited to dinner over to his finance minister's castle at his chateau. And then he gets there and the finance minister is living better than he is.
It was better than Versailles.
So he was like, fuck this guy. And so he like confiscated everything, took it for himself, threw the dude in jail.
In prison.
It's got, corruption has its limits, even under monarchy, right? And so I think that's kind of like the lesson that Kristi Noem learned here, right? Like, there's only one boss. There's only one Tony Soprano.
Never outshine the master.
Don't she? And that's what she did. And so, and she's splashing herself every time you, I mean, you've been traveling recently, John. You go to the airport and there's Kristi on at the TSA video. She Kristi all the time. She's all over social. And then so John, it was a trap, John Kennedy said. I think the knives were out. Do you think he was told by Trump to ask that question?
Like, if not by Trump, by somebody very close to Trump, because they were looking for a reason to push her out. Jesse Waters said on the Jesse Waters show on Fox last night that an administration insider texted him that there were five separate reasons that they wanted to give her the heave-ho. Among them was, you know, the whatever it was, $200 million she spent on the stupid advertisement. She embarrassed herself in front of the Congress. The thing with the pilot, firing the pilot for not getting her blankie. And then the
blankie gate was bad.
Yeah. So it was five separate issues.
Were any of those five issues, do you know? You know, the fact that she sicked tens of thousands of uneducated moronic goons onto the streets of American cities and that some of them are murdering American citizens just for fun?
He did mention that. He did mention that. He said that Minneapolis was handled very poorly.
The question is how should it have been handled? In her testimony, she was asked by the Democrats, you know, like, oh, are you still alleging that Pretty and Good were domestic terrorists? She doesn't answer the question. So in other words, she's basically tacitly admitting that she knows it's a lie, but she doesn't back away from it either. And it's bad. And then she was also kind of asked, like, you know, have you ever had sexual relations with Corey Lewandowski?
Yeah.
And says, oh, just say no and we'll move on. Just say no. And she's like, oh, this is tabloid crap. You can't. Trump was watching carefully, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah, he was. And Trump is down on Lewandowski, too. You know, Lewandowski.
They're both an embarrassment.
They are. They're an embarrassment. Lewandowski's still married, to the best of my knowledge. Lewandowski embarrassed Trump at the end of the first term. Remember, Lewandowski was Trump's campaign manager.
But then I was surprised that he returned.
He was actively seeking payments of $1 million to ask Trump for pardons.
Mm-hmm.
At least Giuliani, you know, had his henchmen, you know, ask the actual question. Lewandowski was just like, give me $1 million. Give me $1 million.
Corruption has its limits. So, okay. So Kristi Noem, What do you make of the fact that, I mean, I think I know that he basically, you know, Trump doesn't like to fire anyone because he feels like it makes him look bad. I don't know that Trump's wrong about that. But now she's moved on to this thing called the shield of America. That's the only proper way to announce it. It's an anti-cartel thing. I mean, this is just basically like, you know, you're allowing your enemy a graceful exit, right?
Yes. And keep in mind, not only is there no such position, there will be no such position because Congress has to authorize it and appropriate the money to fund it. And they've done neither.
So would they? It's a rubber stamp Republican Congress, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they don't have enough of a majority in either chamber to actually get anything done.
True, they don't have the 60 in the Senate to make it move forward.
Even with their fellow traveler John Fetterman.
So what happens to Christie now? Does Christie go off to Fox News?
Most likely.
I mean, she's very telegenic.
You know, we should add, too, that the reason why she was so gung-ho, the reason why she was spending like a drunken sailor to get her face in every airport is because she wants to run for president. That's what this was about.
Of the United States?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
But people here know who she is.
But she thought she could reinvent herself, that DHS, of all the cabinet positions she could have had, DHS would be the one to really put her on the map as one tough chick, and she's going to be the first female president because she's tough and she's good looking, and you know she's in every airport and she's facing down.
She is in every airport.
Yeah,
I wonder how long that's going to last. Not long. I bet they're literally not going to be on today. Those TSA spots.
I'm sure that's true.
Briefly before we get to some questions, Mark Wayne Mullen, who has like you know the first name of a serial killer,
Wayne, middle name Billy Joe Jim Bob Mullen.
Yeah, who by the way he has one of those POW MIA flags in his office in the Senate. That drives me crazy. That's like weird conspiracy shit, Chuck Norris crap. There were no POWs left behind in Vietnam. But Mark Wayne, will his policies be any different or will his approach be any different than hers? He definitely seems, I mean, he's not as charmless as she is.
No, you remember he got into a very public spat with, who was it? Was it the head of the United Auto Workers? And the union leader was like, let's go outside. And Mark Wayne Mullen's like, yeah, let's do it. He's like, yeah, let's do it.
That was him.
Yeah, that was him. And then Bernie Sanders is like, take it easy, both of you. What's wrong with you? You're a senator. Yeah.
For Christ's sake. Yeah, thank you for reminding me of that, John. Oh, my God.
The reason why he appointed Mark Wayne Mullen is that he's competent enough. He's a tough guy. And he's from a state where the Democrats don't have a prayer of picking up the Senate seat.
Yeah, it's a very safe Senate seat. His replacement will be appointed by a right-wing Republican governor.
That's right. And even in this special election, whomever
why would Mullen want the job? The
Republican nominee
seems like a demotion to me.
I would have to agree. I was thinking about this last night. He's only in his like first term, I think, in the Senate. And I'm wondering if, like we hear from so many other retiring senators, that the gridlock is just so bad that it's just not worth sticking around. They just get sick of it.
Right. It's just they have nothing to do. It's just boring. They're twiddling their thumbs. And then
maybe he has the same calculation that Kristi Noem has, where he's been a senator now.
He needs the national profile.
He's going to be the head of the biggest department in government behind DOD, and then he can run for president next time too.
But it's a very controversial cabinet post.
It should never have been created in the first place. Agreed. It's just unwieldy. There are too many agencies and bureaus that are housed in it, And then other stuff.
And they're all bureaus that Americans don't like.
Yeah.
Like no one likes the TSA. No one likes FEMA. No one likes ICE.
Or border protection.
Yeah. It's like where all the assholes live.
CPB. Yeah. CBP. Customs and Border Protection.
I don't know how you I don't know. Even if, let's say, for the sake of argument, he's super successful. He manages to really clear out the illegal immigrants, but in a more humane way that doesn't piss off everyone who's to the left of Attila the Hun. I still don't see how he, you know, monetizes that to get up to a credible presidential campaign. I don't even know how you get to the Republican nomination that way.
No, although maybe his calculation is he's young. I mean, and he is young. He's only but like 50 years old. Maybe the calculation is he can be J.D. Vance's vice president. You know,
let me be super naive, something I try not to be on this show, John. Is it possible that quite simply when your president calls, your patriotic duty is to say yes, sir?
You know, in the old days, yeah, your country needs you. Presidents would call and say your country needs you. And you say, yes, Mr. President, and you do it. I'm not sure that that's the case necessarily anymore, but maybe with him it is.
Maybe it might be for someone like you and me. I mean, you know, I mean, it's like I'm old school. I was an Eagle Scout. You know, it's like, I mean, even with this president who I disagree with on everything, you know, not everything,
right?
Many things.
Yeah.
When your president needs you, you've got to go. There's no choice. It might be that.
It could be it.
Okay, so shall we do some questions, John?
Absolutely, and we're getting pelted with them. We should probably try to start.
Let's not do peltage. Not peltage. Okay, D.H. Frank, thanks for the $9.99. What effect would it have on Iran and the UAE if the UAE follows through on its threat to freeze Iranian assets held there? Might it hurt the UAE more than Iran? That's a good question.
It would hurt Dubai. Yeah. Something like a quarter of the businesses in Dubai are owned by Iranians. It's Iran's outlet to the rest of the world. And it's something over which the United States just chose to look away from. So yeah, if the UAE followed up on the threat, it would cripple the Iranian economy, export, import wise. But at the same time, yeah, it would hurt Dubai. It wouldn't hurt the greater United Arab Emirates. And knowing the Abu Dhabians, they would sort of make up the slack.
I mean, who would ever want to, you know, park their money in a country that might seize it or cooperate with, you know, that kind of seizure? I mean, this is the same problem that, you know, the same issue that came up with Russia and Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. I think that people look at Iran differently and they'll say, well, the Iranians are outlaws, so it's okay to seize their money.
Yeah, but you know, everybody can become an outlaw someday. I mean, as a former banker, I just I hope that wasn't a drone strike, by the way. let's see. Thank you very much for the $19.99 from Mortis the Necro. It was mentioned that the Saudis also approached the U.S. about this invasion.
Yeah.
Yes, I read that too. Did they not anticipate this taking this long? I mean, it's been a week. The clock ticking about the area running out of Patriot missiles seems like such an oversight.
Yes. I talked about this last night with a guy on Fox when I was waiting to go on. And he said the same thing. Everybody in the region thought the Iranians would have collapsed by now. And they have been far more resilient than anybody thought. And remember,
they thought they would have collapsed within less than a week.
Well, when you decapitate the leadership like we did, yeah, they thought it would just fall apart.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they not have any Iranians to talk to, or anyone who any academics?
I've long said, Ted, that this is the problem inside the CIA, is they think they're the smartest people in the world, and they're not. They just don't understand how resilient Iranian people are. That
the government has been under siege for 47 years, right? I mean, they've been, you know, they've gone through a lot, right? I mean, they started out with the Iran-Iraq war immediately after the revolution. They've been dealing with sanctions ever since, and they know that they've been bombed repeatedly. I mean, you know, these are battle-hardened people.
Hillary Clinton said back in 2009 that Iran was not a theocracy. It was a military dictatorship.
And she
was wrong.
It's not true.
But that's the conventional wisdom inside the intelligence community.
Well, there almost are no military dictatorships anymore.
Right. Yeah. So Hillary Clinton's position was, and the CIA's position. And the CIA's position is that that the IRGC runs the country. There was a figurehead, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, sort of above it all, but he was just a sweet old man. Nobody paid any attention. And that the IRGC made the trains run on time. And that's just simply not true.
No, it's not true.
Wow. And another thing that, that they refuse to acknowledge is that we are never seen as liberators. We are seen as invaders and occupiers, and you can't win wars that way.
No, that's, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, the thing is, we were viewed as a liberator at the end of World War II, right?
Yeah.
And it's been not ever since. But I mean, part of the thing is, the U.S. never put its thumb on the scale of these liberated democracies quite as heavily as it has since then, right? I mean, imagine if we had invaded Afghanistan and just said, okay, look, we kicked out the Taliban. We've gotten rid of the bad guys. Now you guys have an election. Let us know who your ambassador is, and we'll open the building in Washington. That, we could establish that reputation. But already here, you know, we're saying, well, we're going to liberate you, but actually it's up to you to liberate yourselves, and all we're going to do is bomb. So I don't know how you're supposed to be out in the street. Well, stay home. I don't know if you can, how you can stay home. Trump told them to stay home. How are you going to stay home and have a revolution at the same time? You can't really have an Instagram revolution. How are you going to do it?
No.
And then you've got like, you know, we're going to push the Shah, the old Shah son, maybe. But anyway, we know you want Khomeini's son, but he's out. And, you know, let us know who else you're thinking of, but we'll decide, you know, we'll have veto power over that. This is ridiculous. Yeah, no, we're not viewed as liberators because we're not liberators.
No, we're not. We're not.
I mean, we're exploiters. We're occupiers.
Yeah.
We're colonialists.
We have an ad we should probably do before we lose it.
Okay, let's do it. Robbie, did you put it up? Robbie, please go ahead and put it up. Okay, thank you, Robbie. UK Armed Police is asking, where do I ask a question in the super chat on YouTube? Right where you are in the super chat on YouTube is where you ask that question, because that's where I'm reading it. Here we go. Here is the ad, and I do not want to lose it. Okay, John, still haven't tried 1775 coffee. Now's your shot. The 1775 starter kit just dropped. Only 1,000 units. You're getting the bold dark roast that hits hard, the smooth medium roast, and the Vitality Mushroom Coffee for clean energy and low laser focus, no crash. All single origin, small batch, toxin-free and mold-free. Plus, you're also getting a gold spoon clip because freedom isn't scooped with plastic. A frother is strong enough to stir up your coffee and your mother-in-law's opinions, and a black 1775 tumbler. That's $170 worth of coffee and gear. Yours just for $99. This is for the ones who've been watching 1775 blow up on Rumble, wondering if it's actually worth it. Spoiler, it is. Go to 1775coffee.com/studio and grab your starter kit before they're gone. Bold beans, clean fuel, and a morning routine that stands for something, just like Rumble does. Okay, Talon 1297, thanks for the $9.99. Hey, Ted and John, as a graduating CMU student, I guess Carnegie Mellon, I'm curious of your takes on massive recent increases on recruitment from companies like Palantir on campus due to government pressure on schools. Love you. Great question.
Oh, that's a great question.
Maybe, John, explain who Palantir is for
me.
Palantir, most people watching here know, but still.
Palantir is a high-tech defense-related company and intelligence community contractor. But the reason why it's so significant is because it is the first company that the CIA invested in through its venture capital arm called InQtel. So Palantir is quite literally a creation of the CIA. And Peter Thiel, has the CEO and founder, has long been very close to the CIA. Yeah.
And you so know, So about the recruitment on campus, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, certainly there's always been, I mean, for example, when I was at Columbia, there, ever since 1968, ROTC had been blocked from recruiting on the Columbia campus. And then the Reagan administration started pressuring the Columbia administration, saying they'd take away defense contracts from Columbia if they didn't allow ROTC to start recruiting. And they did right around the time when I was there toward the end of my tenure. So that, that pressure does happen. Do you think that's what's happening here with schools like Carnegie Mellon?
I do.
That's a big research school.
And I think it'll change when Donald Trump is no longer president. But yeah, it's the reality for the next 2.5 years.
Okay, and thanks very much for the $2. Someone just said bye, BYE. All right, well, you can say bye to us for $2. Everyone who's saying goodbye, well, don't say goodbye. Let me bring in producer Robbie West. He has some housekeeping to do.
Howdy, howdy. Good morning, everybody. So, sir, some people are asking questions about John's official TikTok account. I talked with John about this last week, and we have decided not to make a official TikTok account because there's so many scammers. It would literally be like pissing up wind, or it just, it doesn't make any sense at all. So all of his official shorts are on his Rumble channel, his official Rumble channel that is verified because thanks to y'all's support, John is a partner here on Rumble. So for all of you thinking that Rumble's only right wing, the two people fittingly to the left of me are lefties on Rumble. So come on over. The weather's fine. And I promise you, it will not hurt. You'll be okay. And
I've
you'll be able to
official,
find, you'll
and
be able
I've
find
got my official it. Rumble page up too.
You do?
But it's just in its infancy. So, you know.
Well, hey, yesterday's talk was
fun. Go look at John's. Mine's not. I'll brag about mine like in a week or two.
Yeah, we'll have to work on yours. We'll make it
okay. Work, yeah, it's starting now. Okay. Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you.
Okay, so Adams Mark, 1838, thanks for the Emirati dirhams, 25 of them. What's the probability, in your opinions, that the Gulf states run out of their interceptor stockpiles after this weekend? That's been like a big talk, right? Like everybody's talking about, like the Iranians are like, the Americans were saying, oh, the Iranians don't have many missiles, but then it's like, actually, we do. Then it's like, how many Patriot missiles are left? Zelensky wants some Patriot missile replacements. He's willing to do some swapping. Pete Hegseth says, no, we got more. I mean, everyone says we're going to run out of munitions. That's not true. We'll never run out. What's going on? I mean, is there any way to ascertain the truth here, John? What do you think is actually happening?
I think that they probably are running out of interceptors because we're sending interceptors everywhere. And the only people saying that we're not running out of them are Trump and Hegseth. And listen, I'm sorry, but I just don't believe them. So it's not like it was in 1991 when we were, you know, overflowing with Patriot missiles, or even 2003. I think we are running out. Now, yesterday, Hegseth also announced that we had sunk 30 Iranian ships, including a drone carrier. Now, the drone carrier had something like 150 suicide drones on it.
Mm.
And so that's 150 drones that we don't have to use Patriot missiles to take out. So we may have bought ourselves just a little bit of time. I think they still make the Patriot in Alabama. If there's a problem with employment in Alabama, it's probably going to be solved right quick because we need lots and lots more.
I'll tell Scott to get on top of that. For me, John, I think you're right. I mean, the tell that we're low is that before, like months ago, before there was any soupçon that we were about to go to a real Mideast war against Iran, the Pentagon went to Congress and said, "Hey, we're dangerously low on munitions," and yeah, obviously they're ramping up production, and U.S. industrial might is an amazing thing to behold, as Hitler can attest.
Yeah.
But still, that was just a few months ago, and they were saying, "Well, we gave it all to the Israelis to kill the Gazans," so.
True.
Yeah, it is true. And
And I'll tell you another thing, too. The Washington Post reported the obvious this morning, saying that the Russians were the ones providing the Iranians with targeting information. That's yes. how the Iranians have been so successful in hitting American military installations up and down the Arabian Peninsula. Well, of course the Russians are giving them targeting information because we're giving the Israelis targeting information, and we did the targeting for the Ukrainians against the Russians. So it's payback time.
John, how is that viewed? Is that view, you know, like if you're a belligerent and your adversary is receiving targeting information from a third party, do you view that third party as a belligerent or just like,
no,
you just view them as assholes?
Yeah. You view them as assholes. And it's funny too, that all through the Vietnam War, the Soviets gave the Vietnamese targeting information on Iranian troops and Iranian military installations. But it never brought us close to war with the Soviet Union. We just saw it as kind of an asshole move, but you know, it's wartime and that's what people do.
It's weird. I have to admit, I would view you as a belligerent if you did that. UK armed police is asking with this too, do I need bank to send my bank account details to send money? I'm putting Robbie in here. Robbie, I don't understand this question at all because this person just donated to British pounds and is asking if they need to send bank details, but we have their two British pounds. Yeah. So what are they asking?
No, please do not ever send us your banking information.
I wonder why
don't
Robbie
want it.
Can't get in.
We don't want your bank information.
No, we don't want your bank information. No, just keep doing what you're doing. So you click on the chat box, you click on the super chat, just like what you're doing, put in the amount that you want to send and send it on its way. And that's how it works. No, please, for the love of God, do not send us your banking information. No, we do not want it. That's a headache we do not need.
That's true. By the way, guys, you guys are gonna. There's a complaint in the chat that says that I'm reading the ads too slow.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I should read the ads. They like that.
Yeah, that'll take up most half the show. All right. I don't know. I don't understand. Okay, I can't win. Okay, Soden, thanks for the 1999. Good morning, gents. What will be the end game with the Strait of Hormuz, and how bad did we piss off the UK financial market?
You know, that's an important question. People aren't really talking about the Strait of Hormuz, and they need to. The president posted about it on Truth Social yesterday. He spelled the word straight wrong. So I wondered if, anyway, forget what I wanted.
It's not the gay of Hormuz.
Yes, exactly. So the Iranians are threatening to close it. It can be closed just by sinking a ship. I don't think that they would do that. And in the meantime, he's recalling the ghost of Ronald Reagan and sending naval escorts to bring Western oil tankers through to escort them through the straits. But the Iranians could close them. I don't think they will.
Why do you not think they will?
Because they'll have to sink one of their own ships to do it. And only if, you know, it's their last ship and they have nothing else to lose, would they do it. But even then, you know, it would take a couple of weeks, but we could raise the ship and tow it out.
Mm.
Yeah, it would be a temporary setback.
Well, but a temporary setback would have a huge effect on the oil markets.
Yeah, but then the United States said through Donald Trump yesterday that they will guarantee insurance payments, that the U.S. government will guarantee insurance mm-hmm. payments through Lloyd's of London. And so there's – even if you get blown up, the U.S. is going to pay for your ship. So just keep –
As a resident lefty, I really do hate to see this kind of corporatism, right? Like, why should the U.S. government be, guaranteeing private shipping? These are big, wealthy shipping conglomerates and oil companies.
You know, and I'll add another reason why I don't think this will happen is more than 50% of Iran's oil flows through the strait. Their pipelines are not big enough to be able to accommodate all of their oil exports. So they would be really hurting themselves.
Yeah, I think that's the big one, right? Evan, thanks for the 10 euros. Let's see. Sorry, things are moving fast here. Panagot, for both, Trump spent most of last year being openly hostile to NATO Were NATO countries given any forewarning of the actions against Iran?
I've read that NATO countries were, but the Gulf countries were not. And I can attest to that. So, you know, I was in Dubai, a week and a half ago, and I was in Kuwait 2 weeks before that. And government officials, like senior government officials, told me they had no idea if the United States was going to attack. And I said, I'm going to guess that, yes, an attack is coming. And it could come in the next couple of weeks.
Well, we've been talking about it. You definitely called it, even though you had people complaining that you were a few hours off.
Idiots.
Curtis Goff, bonjour from Canada. You guys, bonjour to you too. You guys are my favorite, and I'm obsessed. I've been confused by Mark Carney's response to support for the U.S. bombing of Iran. Can you talk about it?
You know, poor Carney's under a lot of pressure. Not just from his own party members, but from the United States as well. And I think when you get into a position of that kind of authority, you sort of have to fall into line. Look at Keir Starmer. I would compare him on this issue to Keir Starmer, where we know what your personal ideology is. We respect that. But you're the leader of the country now. It's a time of war, whether you like it or not, whether you wanted it or not. You're going to have to fall into line.
Question from aside. There were some reports about Khorram Shahr 4 hypersonic missiles being used against Israel today. However, we've not heard anything from the Israelis about whether it hit or not. These kind of reports are constant with the Israelis, right? You'll hear that missiles are incoming, and then there's no follow-up. We never know what happened.
Because Western reporters are not permitted to report on it.
Yeah, like, for example, CNN has a whole desk there, right? Like, and literally at some point, every now and then they'll say, oh, the Israeli government will not allow us to report on this. Question, why are you there?
That's right.
You know,
why are you there?
I mean, there's no point.
If you're a real war reporter, a real war journalist, you're going to report it anyway and let them throw you out.
Yeah, that's true. Matt Singleton, with all the crazy and wrong things our country is doing, how do you process the ensuing sadness and shame alongside your patriotism and love of nation? This is a fantastic question.
That's a great
question. We could do an hour on that. This is something I am struggling with. It's like it's like the problem of the good German. We're good Germans.
I interviewed Mohammed Mirandi yesterday on my other podcast, Deep Focus. It's going to run, I don't know, next couple of days. And I started off, we may not even have been recording, I don't even recall, but I started off by saying, Mohammed, I have to apologize to you as an American for what we're doing to your country. You know, I'm sickened by the attack on the girls' school. I'm sickened by the attack on this Iranian ship off the coast of Sri Lanka. This was a war crime. Both of these attacks were war crimes. And we just would never apologize. As a policy, the U.S. government never apologizes.
Evan McDonald, thanks for the 10 euros. Oliver, thanks for the THBs. I don't know what those are. Turkish Liras, maybe? No, that's THY. But anyway, love watching you guys. My family is Greek Cypriot. What is the angle of using Cyprus as a backdoor to drag Europe into the war? Efharisto.
I think that the only reason why Cyprus will not be dragged into an actual shooting war is that it's not a belligerent and it's not a member of NATO. It's a member of the European Union, but it's just on the outer reaches of Iranian missile range. They could hit Cyprus, they could hit southern Turkey, they could hit Ceuta Bay and Crete, but I think it's a little bit too hard, and they don't get much out of it other than maybe being able to strike the British air bases in Cyprus. I just don't think it'll happen because there's the Persian Gulf region is so target-rich for the Iranians, and I think they're more focused on that.
For me, you know, my answer to that question is that, I mean, about the patriotism thing, I've been thinking about that while you were talking about Cyprus. I separate my government from my country. My country will go on whether this government goes on or not. They're two different things and we conflate them, but I don't. The American people, the cities, the countryside, the birds, the bees, the cats, the dogs. I mean, that's what America, the mountains, that's what America is to me. It's not, I mean, our government's disgusting, though. Tristan R33, thanks for the 10 pounds. What are your thoughts on the current UK-US relationship? Being from UK, it seems like Starmer is a pathetic leader and Trump is a bully. What do you think?
Yes to both. Mm-hmm. Keir Starmer is absolutely dreadful, absolutely terrible. He's ridiculous. He's weak. He surrounds himself with other weak people. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the man rose to be the leader of the Labour Party. And I wouldn't be surprised if
it's been bad. Labor's been struggling for a long time, though.
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make it to the end of the summer.
Do you ever think you'd miss Tony Blair?
How crazy is that, right?
Right.
At least Umar, Tony Blair. I mean, we could disagree about Tony Blair and his policies, but at least the man was a leader.
He was effective. Yeah. Umar Sheikh, 1874, thanks for the 50 Emirati dirhams. Thank you. Hello, my favorite uncles. Hello, nephew. Is there anything that can stop Trump from this current war?
I think we're already too deep into it.
Yeah, we don't do that, right? Like, once we go, it's in. It's like, it's one way. It's like, we don't go out.
One thing somebody asked me is, was there any chance that Trump might just declare victory and leave? And I said, not while the current Iranian government is still in place. No.
No. John, if I recall correctly, this is from Kajkovic. You mentioned somewhere that there were Israeli Mossad handlers for members of Congress. Am I mistaken?
No, I didn't say Mossad handlers. It was AIPAC. There's an AIPAC person assigned literally to every single congressional office. And then beyond that, they're now assigned to state legislatures and even to local governments.
Does AOC have her own AIPAC handler?
Without any question. A friend of mine from Code Pink told me that she went into the office of a new congressman the other day, and there was this young guy, 22, 23 years old, who just kind of stood up and walked over to their little circle, and she thought he was a staff member. And then finally somebody said, "I'm sorry, who are you?" And he said, "Oh, I'm just an interested observer." And then somebody said, "No, he's the AIPAC guy for this office." And then they asked him to leave. So the AIPAC like will send people. Yeah, they'll send, 535 people to just sit in the lobby of your office. To just insert himself or herself in any conversation that takes place. I've never heard of anything like it.
It's insane. Anyway, Benelis, thanks for the £4.99. John, what do you think of the UK Ministry of Defense statement that Iran did not fire at the UK base in Cyprus, but then proceeded with joining the war? Lack of balls versus USA?
Or a half admission that it was a false flag operation. Mm. We've heard that it's the Israelis firing at their own drone base in Azerbaijan, for example. We've heard that it's the Israelis setting off explosions in Doha. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. We don't know. But I think it's possible that that's what we saw in Cyprus.
Justine, thanks for the 50 PLNs. Do you know what that is, John? I don't.
I don't.
Okay. Yep. Yes, please. 20. Thanks for the $20. John, ever had experiences with the Serbian government or any tidbits about the security and political situation in suburbia? For example, its relationship with Russian intelligence. I'm an American living in Serbia, so just curious.
I never worked with the Serbian service, but I backpacked with my girlfriend all through Serbia in 1985, and with my brother and my best friend in 1986, I made lifelong friends in Serbia. Shout out to Alexander Rosulich, a starving artist in 1995, who is now the chief curator of the Belgrade Museum of Art.
I love stories like that.
And I still have the artworks that he gave me in 1985.
My grandfather, when he was a young sailor on a fishing vessel as a teenager, his best friend ended up becoming the captain of the SS France, a giant Steamliner. Yeah, so wow. It's like, I love stories like that. Mitch Lucker forever. Thanks for the $9.99. What do you think about the Marine who got his arm broken yesterday? Also, you're my hero, John.
Oh, thank you. Sickening, huh?
And it was sickening.
Hear it snap.
It's like, yeah. Also the way, I mean, is it really that necessary to attack the guy like he's fucking Al Qaeda? I mean, right. Okay, I understand you want him out, but then, you know, it's just, you know, get enough guys and just get him to leave. I mean, really, he knows he's going to leave. He's, I mean, some respect. Rain Man 77 is thanks for the $1.99. John has the same exact birthday as my mother.
Nagasaki Day.
Shehan Nasiri. John, if the IRGC collapses, do you think groups of former soldiers will take up arms and form extremist groups?
Oh, this and
the CIA
question.
Arming ethnic groups could be chaos. That, well, the another second great question. For sure.
Two great questions. Number one, absolutely, positively, yes. If we didn't learn from our mistakes in Iraq, then shame on us. Of course, groups are going to form and arm themselves because we are seen as invaders and occupiers, not as liberators, number one. What was the second part again?
About arming, you know, ethnic minority groups.
Yeah, and last night on Fox, I was talking about how we're probably arming the Iranian Kurds. Mm-hmm. The president said, no, we're not arming the Kurds. But what the Israelis do,
covertly,
I have no idea, he says. So, right. Yeah, we're arming the Kurds.
With yeah, the I mean, where do the Israelis get their weapons from us?
Exactly. With the idea being that we arm the Kurds, they start to move toward Tehran. They couldn't get to Tehran on their own, but they could draw out the IRGC to fight them. We carpet bomb the IRGC, and then that's the end of it.
Muggsy, thanks for the $6. I like Colonel Douglas McGregor's analysis, but is he being hyperbolic when he claims that all of our bases in the area have been destroyed?
Yeah, he is.
That has not happened.
Yeah, it's not happened.
Okay, as a our predictor, thanks for the Owen for the $5. Our prediction markets like Polymarket used by intelligence services for predicting geopolitical and military developments, e.g. regime change by March 31st, is tracking at 10%. Would they look at that? It's a great
question. I don't think so. I think actually the opposite would be true, that it's potential betters looking at tea leaves coming out of the government.
Kim Pugsley, thanks for the $50. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Okay. Why do over 90% of the Congress and House of Representatives have Israeli fund endorsement? I think receiving campaign donations from Israel.
Oh, yeah.
How could this have happened and be normalized? This is a clear conflict of interest. It's our system.
Yes, it's the system we've given ourselves. Yes, you're right.
It's a,
I agree.
It's a feature. It's not a bug. It's a core feature.
Yeah.
Only one ham. Thanks for the $10. Ted, are you familiar with cartoonist Marshall Ramsey? Yes, very much so. We know each other. I consider him a friend. John, any chance your future speaking tour brings you through Mississippi? Purchased the hashtag free John Kiriakou shirt. And love it. Thank you, guys. I'll have to
awesome.
Wear
thank you. Wear now, I haven't been shirt, to Mississippi. Sure. I don't think I've been to Mississippi in 20 years. I'd love to stop in Mississippi.
Me too. I mean, I had a great book signing in Jackson. So sweet. I would go back there. Great, great. I actually love the South. I mean, seriously, just the food alone.
Excellent.
You know, so let's see. Frasmataz, it's my understanding that some Kurds served as foot soldiers for the Ottomans in the Armenian genocide. Will the Kurds become the new Azov, Druze 2.0?
I think times have changed. Look, I'm going to admit my bias. I love the Kurds. I'm biased strongly in favor of the Kurds. I've worked with them many times over the years. They are really great people, tough fighters, smart, resilient. But yeah, we can't deny history. Yes, they did work with the Ottomans on the ground against the Armenians and the Assyrians and, well, not the Greeks, but the Armenians and the Assyrians. With that said, I mean, we're talking about more than a century ago and times change. I think we should also be very careful not to lump all Kurds into the same basket. Turkish Kurds, Iranian Kurds, Iraqi Kurds, Syrian Kurds, they're vastly different from one another.
They've been separated from one another. Yeah.
Yes. And even the language that they speak is, you know, it's dialectic. It's differentiated by geography. So
that's a really excellent point. Jace Bateson, 2145. Hey, first time questioning here. Thank you. But do you think there could be a draft if this goes into a full-blown world war? I mean, anything's possible, but I think the U.S. government, the Defense Department got dragged kicking and screaming into the all-volunteer army, and now they love it, and they would never go back. What do you think, John?
Agree completely. And if we didn't have to draft people with two simultaneous wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, we won't for this.
No. Question for y'all from Solarbiter. If Ukraine and South Korea send their patriots to the Gulf, how would it affect themselves?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, it would have a much more immediate impact on the Koreans. I'm sorry, on the Ukrainians, because they're in a hot war. It would make the South Koreans vulnerable temporarily till they can be replaced. But there's no indication that North Korea thinks it would gain anything by attacking South Korea.
Will Dem, thanks so much for the $30. The U.S. and Israel have found a way, probably using Claude AI by Anthropic, to take control of more Iranian drones, et cetera, and hit targets like Akrotiri that they could not usually hit. Thoughts?
I like the first half of that. I think that the Pentagon has been working very hard to try to hack into the Iranian drones. I mean, that's kind of the future of warfare, really.
Yeah.
It's all about drones, and it's going to be all about drones and robots.
What I dread is when they start coming here to the West. Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, you know, that's where I live. Mike in Nottingham, thanks for the $20. Three labor advisors, including an MP's husband, have been arrested over the past few days for spying for China. The world seems to get more nuts every day.
I can admit that I rely on Mike for a lot of my British political news.
Blake, thanks for the Mike. 20. Do you think Iran plans on continuing strikes until the bitter end, or do you think they will capitulate? Love your show. Best of luck on the pardon, John.
Thank you. I think they'll fight to the death. I would.
I don't think there's any reason not to.
And remember, martyrdom is an honor. They're not afraid of death.
No, it's true. On the Sea of Soul, thanks for the $10. DJ, thanks for the HUF-1000. Iranian TV is a violating vessel in the Strait of Hormuz was hit by a drone and caught fire 30 minutes ago. Earphones asking, Ted, do you know Joe Sacco? I know his work. We've never met. It's really weird because we do such similar work. I don't know. Maybe probably just we run with different friends, different generation. He's a little older. Brett, huge fan. I'm John. I'm vacationing in Italy at the end of this month. Awesome. Thanks for the $9.99. Sightseeing all the major destinations. Do you have any advice? Do you think it'll be safe with everything going on right now?
I do. I think Italy's going to be fine. First of all, I'm a little bit jealous. Go to some of the lesser known ancient Greek sites from Naples south, including all of Sicily.
I love Sicily. It's my favorite part.
Oh, man. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
There are so many beautiful ancient sites there that tourists don't pay much attention to. Everybody runs to Rome, and half the time they don't even leave Rome, or they go north and go to Florence and Pisa and places like that, totally. Milan. Go south, man. It's incredible. And the food's better in the south.
That's very true. I mean, it's Italy. You're never going to go wrong, but still. Yeah. Web Vets, how is Israel able to control us with Genesis 12, chapter 12, verse 3? I don't know anything about it. Hold on.
Sorry. Bring it.
Yeah. Robbie, what's Genesis 12? What's Genesis 12, 3?
Okay. So Genesis 12, 3 is the promise that God made to Abraham. So what it is that Zionists, well, they'll twist this passage. This is where Ted Cruz famously stepped on his dick when he said that you have to bless Israel or God will bless you. And if you curse Israel, God will curse you. The Bible does not say that anywhere. Does not say it in Genesis? Does not say it in Numbers? 12:3 specifically says that God will bless you, the man of Abraham, and I will curse you, Abraham, and through you will all nations be blessed. the blessing comes in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the blessing. Islam teaches that Jesus is a prophet. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah. That's one place where both of those religions are able to come together, is that the blessing comes through Jesus. It has nothing to do with the nation of Israel. That is the political entity. A bald-faced lie.
Thank you, Robbie. Arian Gorty, thanks for the $4.99. Hey, John and Ted, want to say love you both, and thanks for all that you do. Thank you. Do you think that another era of proxy wars is coming to the region? That's a...
It's a tough one.
I don't know. This is direct war.
Yeah, right? It is.
So doesn't seem... I mean, I guess not, really. I don't think this presages that. What do you think?
No, I don't think so, actually.
Unless, I prefer proxy wars, personally.
Yeah. Unless...
They're less hot.
Unless this one is hot, but... Once it's finished, you know, do we have proxies fighting the Houthis again? Do we have proxies, you know, fighting what? Hezbollah?
If Iran is gelded, then maybe not.
Right.
For the time being. Screamy McCreamy, thanks for the $9.99. Trump keeps talking about Mexican cartels being a scourge to America, but never really does much. Well, we're going to have the Shield of America. Latinos and Mexican citizens would happily support stopping them. So why hasn't he? Hope John gets a pardon.
Thank you. Why hasn't he?
Fuck if I know. I
don't know.
Maybe it's just too hard.
Yeah, I was just going to say, maybe the Mexicans just can't do it. And we're distracted elsewhere. We're worried about the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians and this one and that one. And we just don't have the wherewithal to focus on it.
What do you make before we step out here at the end of the show and head off for the weekend, John, of the Trump telling Axios that he needs to be personally involved in signing off on the next leader of Iran?
He came right out and said it, and then admitted that he chose Delcy Rodriguez in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. There were rumors that that had been the case. I think he really believes that he can do something like that in Iran. And he can't. He won't be able to. Iran is not Iraq. And even in Iraq, we weren't able to do that. I mean, we were temporarily. But not over the long term. I don't think it'll happen.
A couple of last minute, literally questions. Thanks for the $50, Jessard. Thanks for all that you do in light of Iran and Venezuela's regime change and Japan's remilitarization. That part terrifies me. How do you think China will respond? It seems that in combination with Russia's war, it puts China in a bad spot. I don't agree either.
I asked Mohammed Mirandi that yesterday. And, you know, it all comes back to that Onion headline, China happy to sit back and watch U.S. destroy itself. The Chinese take a very long view of these things, and the Americans take a very short view. And I think that the Chinese believe that any war with anybody weakens the United States.
We're breaking things. We're breaking ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're spending ourselves to death, $2 billion a day. They're laughing. I mean, they probably think I think they would like us to stop it because China's policy is they clearly want a calm, peaceful, let's do business world. And, they're taking advantage of our stupidity. Last one from Joseph Campbell. Thanks for the tenor. From the 911 Shadow Commission to Human Farms, multiple administrations have covered up the Epstein files. Do you see any way to fix the system? Why do you think Americans aren't as angry as they should be? I could ask that last question about everything. But anyway, what do you think, John?
Nice system we've given ourselves. We've got to demand the release of the final 3 million or so documents. But yeah, it's true. I mean, Mirandi in yesterday's interview kept calling it the Epstein class. It's the Epstein class that runs America.
There's something to that.
That's got to change.
John, thank you so much for being here with me. I always enjoy our mornings together. If something bad or big happens over the weekend, we will consider breaking in and joining you. But otherwise, we'll be back Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We're here Monday through Friday. at 9 o'clock Eastern in the morning. Thank you so much. Please stay tuned for the TMI show with myself and Manila Chan. Have an awesome weekend and see you Monday.